Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Titans with pick number 25 right now. If you were just giving odds, Paul, of moving down, I know you don't know what's available. How much do you think they would love to move down?
I think they'd probably like to move down. I think finding a trade partner to move down is hard unless something really big lands in your lap. Lamar Jackson, maybe. Maybe the first wide receiver hasn't been taken. Even so, I just think there's so much talk about the value of the second and third round here that I don't know that I'm giving up anything in the second or third round to get up to 25. So I think he'd probably, there are a lot of scenarios where I think John Robinson would like to do that. I don't know how much possibility he's going to have to do that. And I think Peter King set this up, and I think he's dead on. If they do trade out, don't expect that the return to match up on any of the charts that we tend to base things on. Smart Football has a better, more modern chart than the Jimmy Johnson chart. But either way, I would doubt that it adds up.
Are those the two things, though, that if let's say you're a Titans fan, that you want them to trade down? You want more second or third round picks. Are you rooting for Lamar Jackson to fall, where someone's going to want to trade up to get him? Is that the guy?
Probably.
That needs to get to that area?
Just the positional value. Now, it's become popular in the last couple days, and I think Mayock might have had this. Hutton, you and I were discussing Mayock's draft, which came out last night. I've seen a couple people giving Lamar Jackson to Baltimore. Where are they, 16? A kind of organizational reset as Ozzie Newsome heads out and Eric DaCosta heads in, signaling the end of the Joe Flacco era, if you will. And that would be really intriguing. I don't know if it's possible for Allen to slip, but, I mean, if one of those quarterbacks slipped to 25, that's best-case scenario. I think second best-case scenario is no receivers are off the board or only one. And there's been a lot out there about people being scared of first-round receivers based on recent low first-round production, including from all three guys last year, including Corey Davis at 5. I know there were a lot of injuries at play there with Williams and Ross as well, but it's hard to look at recent first-round receivers and get super excited about the immediate impact on your team. And then I think, maybe the next tier of cornerbacks, Alexander and Josh Jackson. They might lure somebody.
Other players that could fall. Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore.
Yeah.
And you try to get the second receiver.
I think it's conceivable it could be the first receiver, depending on Dallas. Dallas apparently likes Vander Esch a lot. Dallas, has other needs besides receiver, and they did sign Allen Hurns, so everybody's given them a receiver to replace Dez Bryant, and I'm sure they'll take one somewhere. I don't think it's a lock that they're taking him at 18 or 19.
The other player is, to me, Vita Vea, because if he makes it past Washington and Baltimore, Seattle, I've seen mock drafts that have them interested in a big defensive lineman like him. But Seattle is another team that's also rumored to want to sell that pick. So if they move down, then Vea continues to fall. I'm just trying to find who goes with like the next star, Lotulelei. And that's what Vita Vea to me is. So,
and I've seen a lot where he's gone well before Seattle at 19, right? As early as maybe like 12.
Another one, Mike McGlinchey. Offensive tackle. If he makes it, a lot of people are seeing him right on the edge of the top 10. But if we have the run on quarterbacks that we've seen, and Derwin James and Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds start going, and you have the running back, you have Barkley go in that top 10, well, all of a sudden you're up 10 players immediately. So players begin to fall.
Do you prefer that option, Hutton, if there's a good trade partner?
I do.
Get out of the first round?
I do in this draft, yeah, because I see depth at pass rush. Like Paul's been discussing this over the last couple of weeks. Sam Hubbard is a pretty good player, but do you need to get him at 25? Can you get him later? I think you can probably get him later in this draft. There are other players in that same range that I think you can trade down. And I'm not necessarily, Paul, saying trade out of the first round. You can trade down a few picks and swap with someone that wants to get ahead of Atlanta. Or because Atlanta's going, I think, defensive tackle or maybe a corner. So if you have one of the defensive tackles like a Vita Vea falling, you need to get ahead of Atlanta to
and
grab that guy.
There's two ways of looking at this. Behind the Titans, you've got Atlanta, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Minnesota, New England, Philadelphia. All obviously quite good teams. All right? So do you think, well, none of those teams are going to need something so desperately that they're going to give up draft capital and a good draft to go up and get it? Or, conversely, do you think those teams are good enough that one guy they might think is going to make a big enough difference for them if somebody's dropped that they think is valuable, they maybe don't have the roster room for a full draft class and can manipulate things here. I tend to lean, and it's case-by-case basis, obviously. I tend to lean the first direction. And again, I think it takes somebody falling for there to be any kind of market for 25. But I think if there is a market for 25, I think you're talking about the Browns, the Giants. I mean, the Browns have 33 and 35, two of the first three picks in the second round. But the Giants at 34, the Colts at 30, the Colts are at 36 and 37. So, I mean, you know, you're going to come up to get the one guy, you're going to sit there and take two. Tampa at 38, the Bears at 39. These are teams with some significant holes that, to me, seem more likely to go get somebody that I think is going to solve a problem than maybe the bottom of the first round teams.
Alan and Ron, your phone call straight ahead, 615-737-1045, our number. 365 days ago at this time, on this day, the Titans sitting with two first round picks, tons of potential with what they could do at 5-18. How is your excitement level and optimism for the Titans today compared to where they were at this time a year ago? Because right now they sit with that unopened gift, pick number 25. You don't know what you're going to find, but you don't have two first-round picks. Mariota's healthy. I mean, that's where the optimism lies this year compared to last year. But last year, you felt like Mariota would be ready for camp. You felt like they were pretty good with signing Logan Ryan. Both offensive tackles were taken care of. Murray and Henry gave them an identity. They felt like they knew what they were and they knew what they were going to be in the upcoming season.
Yeah. There's a lot more mystery to this team because of the change in coach and change in scheme.
Yeah. Right. But I also feel like when I look at the team, just the roster, and again, taking out the variables of Matt LaFleur's offense and what that's going to look like and everything, all the mystery surrounding them, I feel about the same about this team.
I
think they're a roster that could be really good, that could make a deep run in the postseason, and they're a roster that could underperform a little bit and go 7-9 with this schedule upcoming. I mean, that's the way I view this team, and it's the exact same way I thought of them last year. And I don't think the two first-round picks last year did a lot to change that. And I don't know that that's a good statement on both of those guys. And while I like both of them and think they both have a lot of potential, I don't know that because of those two first-round picks, that changes a lot of this second year with them in terms of outlook for this team. I feel about the same way I did a year ago, but like you said, Paul, that's also subtracting the huge variable of new head coach, new coaching staff, new philosophy on offense.
And the biggest thing they need, let's go away from position and skill set, they need an infusion of youth on the defensive front. Wesley Woodyard was spectacular last year, but you have to be ready for Wesley Woodyard to show that he's, you know, 32 or whatever it is. Brian Arakpo has been a steady and good player for this franchise, but he's 32 or 33 at the start of the season. You have to, and we've talked about the lack of depth behind Arakpo and Morgan, mm-hmm. and the, you know, contractual situation where they're both going into the final year. there are some pieces up there, those two in particular, where you've got to have a succession plan in order. And that's another big part of why we've talked outside and inside linebackers as such a top-of-the-list thing for us. Not just what that guy can bring you, but what that guy can bring you in maybe a year with Arakpo, maybe 2 years with Woodyard, but you have to be ready for one of those guys to hit the wall. And that's part of planning a good roster, right, is having a youth alternative if and when one of your guys, and we know it can happen suddenly. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen to Arakpo or Woodyard, but you have to be conscious of the fact that it can happen.
Optimism, though, I mean, other than them wanting a playoff game last year, I'm with Chad. I do feel about the same, that they're on that same track. Still looking for that one difference maker to get them over the top.
Yeah, I feel like playoffs are the goal again this year, just like they were last year. That was the clear cut. Make the playoffs, win the division a year ago. I don't know if it's as much win the division this year as this looks like a playoff team, but also a team that could backslide a tad and go 7-9.
Given the rest of the division. I mean, just on Deshaun Watson getting healthy, which we know will happen, and Andrew Luck getting healthy, which we think might happen.
Well, combine that
changes the whole complexion of the division.
Combine that with finally the arrival of the Jags a year ago that everyone was expecting for the last 5 years.
It could be a very good division. And I'm not willing to say the Colts are terrible. I think Andrew Luck is, you know, they missed close a lot last year. They got a better coach and a better coaching staff. If their quarterback is back and doing the things their quarterback can do, I don't think they're a great roster, but I think they're a team capable of winning games.
Alan, lead us off on the phones today. Welcome in. How are you? Hello, Alan.
Looks like it's not. There it is.
Yeah, the computer's now working. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. Y'all there?
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
Hey, so sorry if my question's a little off topic. I turned on my radio and I just heard Withrow say, let's talk draft. But I do have a quick Titan follow-up question. But if I think Barkley or Chubb are going to go to, or sorry, not Barkley, man, let me start over. I think Ward or Chubb are going to go to Cleveland at 4. That's leaving Barkley still out in the open. I haven't heard one person talk about Denver taking Barkley. Why wouldn't they? They only have 2 running backs on the roster in Devontae Booker and Henderson. Can't think of the kid's first name. And they're mostly scat backs, you know, third down, pass catching backs, all that good stuff. Barkley would be a great fit there to also help out Case Keenum and if they decide to keep Paxton Lynch around. But my Titans follow-up would be, I could really see them trading back with the Colts. Just the question is, who would they take in that second round, do you think, the most? And I'll leave it with that. Thanks, guys.
You know, I don't. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I haven't seen a lot of mocks where Barkley falls to 5 in any of them.
Well, that's why we're not
talking about Denver possibly taking him, right? Because he's not dropping to that point.
Yeah, but that's why he called in, because he heard us discussing.
Yeah.
If Mayfield goes 1, Darnold 2, and the Giants don't go running back or defensive end, then everyone started to push down a little bit. And that's where Denver was in a great spot.
And I feel like they'd be foolish not to take Saquon Barkley at that point.
They historically
given their situation.
Don't spend big resources on running backs. Now we're going back to Shanahan time where they cycled through a ton of guys. They traded away Clinton Portis, who was super good, but they found running back to be a replaceable commodity where Champ Bailey was much harder to find. Now, I don't know if it's fair to label them with that still, and Barkley could be too good to pass up. But, I mean, he's right. We haven't raised that scenario much. Here's the other thing he's talking about, maybe trading with the Colts. Now, the Colts have the 4th and 5th picks of the second round, 36 and 37. If they're coming up to 25, you'd be getting one of those and something else. What do I want then at 35? At 36 or 37? I'm much more comfortable there, having gained something else, with Hubbard, with Sweat, with virtually anything. Because anybody you take there, you're going to say, feels like a second round value, as opposed to feeling like 25th. And that's my biggest thing. I've moved away to a degree, I wrote this morning, from linebacker at 25, for a variety of reasons, and we can hash through that. But to me, Davenport's gone. Landry's gone. To me, ideal scenario, Landry slips. He's there at 25.
Well, that's he brings up an interesting scenario. So let's say you trade and get 36 from Indianapolis, like you said. What does the chart say that you get on top of that? Is it a fourth rounder? A fifth rounder?
I don't know.
If you're looking for the equivalent,
it would be something like that. You'd be getting that.
Or plus, would it be a pick next year, possibly?
You know, there are all different permutations. If you're getting a pick next year, it's generally around higher,
I think,
in exchange for the delay.
The goal in making a trade and trading down this year is getting picks this year because you only have six. So you want to pick up, as Robinson would say, currency.
And inside.
Could you get a fourth rounder?
Inside the fourth. Yeah, I think you definitely.
I think a third rounder is probably steep. Wouldn't you say to go from 25 to 36
you
to get their second-round pick and a third-rounder?
Listen, this is me spitballing. But I think
I'm saying steep for Indianapolis.
You could probably do something like get one of those two second-rounders, get maybe a fourth-rounder, and then maybe flip picks somewhere later, fifth or sixth, something like that. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes. Let's go to Ron next up. Hey, Ron.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Love the show. Appreciate all the conversation today. It's great. My question is more wanting to get your opinion on, you know, as the players, you know, go through high school and college and sort that they're following their favorite teams and their favorite players and stuff. So I guess my question is really centered around the anxiety of the player on draft day. Certainly they're following all of the talk, all of the Twitter, all of the mock drafts, television interviews and whatnot. And let's say a player like Saquon Barkley, he's really watching and targeting, well, hey, I really want to go to this team. You know, all the experts are saying that I'm probably going to fall 4 or 5, and this is where I'm going to go. And then with all the last-minute positioning changes and trading up of being the player that gets the call from the team rep, and all of a sudden it's not the team that you really want to go to. And how does that play, you know, for the player? And I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate it.
Well, you don't get to pick where you want to go to. And if you've got a decent agent, he's telling you not to get your hopes up or tab anybody in particular. You know, he's telling you anything is possible, even though we feel like it's going to be one of these four teams. You got to be ready for a phone call from anybody earlier than you expect, later than you expect.
All right, we can make this segue.
Your hopes up on something.
We had Dan Orlovsky on yesterday, and he was going through the draft process for him with us. Furious piece at The Athletic, he had no idea that Detroit was interested in him. We're not on his radar at all. And he was breaking his phone with his friends and family, throwing it against the wall. Like, had to go get a new phone, that way a team could contact him. Because he was so upset that these teams that had spent a lot of time with him throughout the draft process didn't pick him and picked other quarterbacks. Well, the Lions end up picking him when they really didn't even show him much attention up until, like, pick 160 or wherever.
And you hear that story a lot.
Well, we're starting to hear that story over the last week or so with Rashawn Evans and the Tennessee Titans. Did they work him out? Did they bring him in for a visit?
They did not bring him in for a visit as far as we know. Now, he's a Rosenhaus client, so in terms of me having a chance on the agent side of it, getting confirmation or not, here are two things that I've confirmed. They did cancel on Van Der Esch, and he did not visit here. And their rationale, at least what they told him, was that they didn't expect him to be on the board. Now, Robinson didn't come right out and say that they made all 30, right? We asked him that question either when he was on with us. I think when he was on with us, did he use all 30?
You asked him.
He said, you know, it's going to be 26, 27, 28, 29. You know, gave us a big span there, but indicated that he didn't say, yes, we've used all 30. So if you didn't use all 30 and you like Van Der Esch, and they visited in town with Conklin, with Adoree Jackson, with Corey Davis. Virtually everybody they've drafted under Robinson, they either had in or had a private workout with. So that makes me feel like, and then I heard from a source that I wrote, granted, could have ulterior motives, that the Titans had concerns with Evans's athleticism. Now, he hadn't run a 40 through this whole process, letting his film speak for itself or whatever. But there are rumblings that he's not as fast as people would want him to be. And that's the thing that could score him down. So I went through this and I said, all right, Van Der Esch, they canceled him because they didn't expect him to be here, which sounds like a lame excuse to me. Evans, You know, maybe they have athletic concerns on, and he was not here as far as we know. There's no reported visit. Now, there are a dozen reported visits. So it'd be one thing if there weren't many visits out there for Evans, right, Chad? You'd say, well, they've done a good job keeping it secret. But if they have 12 visits out there, what are the chances you're the 13th and you manage to keep it quiet and not get it out? I think, you know, for some guys, it appears their agent or whomever let everybody know where he'd been. So if you're taking those two guys away based on these implications, then the dire need guys, presuming Landry and Davenport are gone. And again, I'd say the ideal scenario is Landry slips. He's there at 25. You send in the card. But then the two guys are Hubbard and Sweat. I like Hubbard. I like Hubbard a lot. I like him a lot at 36. I just don't know if he has athleticism that warrants first-round pick, though he did very well at the combine, proving some athletic things with the super three-cone drill. That was a surprise. Sweat, I think, has some appeal, but the guy's knee has been a mess, and I wonder how much risk you take there. Again, I'd like him a lot better at 36.
You asked Vrabel yesterday about the idea of if the guy has all the intangibles, you know, he's a leader, great guy, can fit your system, but not the greatest athlete, you know, the best player at the position. Does that trump the best athlete who maybe is not the best leader on the field? I immediately thought of Hubbard.
That's right.
That
was what I thought. He kind of said there's a fine line there, and it's a case by case. You know, and I asked him, one of you guys asked it this week about the status of the locker room, and is the locker room good enough at this point that if there's a guy that's not quite a culture fit, they can make him fit? Wesley Woodyard said absolutely. But Vrabel said that's a good question, and I don't know yet. I'm still evaluating. John probably has a better sense of it. But to me, if the coach doesn't know yet, odds are it's going to be a good culture guy until he does know for sure.
And
Hubbard is a good culture guy. I have no doubt about it. Good culture guy, going to work his butt off. But again, Hubbard to me, and I think he could be a very good pass rusher. But what's the number one thing that makes him a good pass rusher? Effort, right?
Yeah, relentless effort.
And I think, I don't know, people have fought me this pretty hard.
We said the same thing about Kyle Vandenbosch, though, and that turned out well.
Right. But
that was his one superpower.
But you found Kyle Vandenbosch on the scrap heap. You didn't spend the 25th pick in the draft on him. What I want out of the 25th pick in the draft is somebody with some super skill, some super athletic skill, some super trait. And I'm just uncomfortable. Maybe this is me. Tell me, guys, tell me if I'm overdoing this. But to me, if the super skill is that you're a well-rounded guy who's going to bust it and be phenomenal in the culture, I don't value that the same as 25 as I do a guy who's got blazing speed or burns the edge. And I like a Sam Hubbard in my pass rush unit for sure. But I don't know if I love him as my first-round pick, even though there might not be a guy there who burns the edge. But what I want at 25 is a guy that burns the edge.
See, I agree with you, but there's going to come a time where you have to put that aside and not say, oh, we don't have this guy as a first-round grade or he's not a difference maker. And if you're not going to get what you want in a trade to trade down, you have to make the realization you're going to draft someone there and say, this is a really good football player.
It's good enough.
You got to be happy with the fact that at 25, you can take a really solid, well-rounded football player starter from day one. Even if he's not a quote-unquote difference maker. We had this discussion with Greg Cosell, and I asked him about that. I kind of knew the answer I would get. He has a hard time defining, you know, what is a difference maker? Right. I was talking about Roquan Smith. And he said, I mean, he's a guy, and he asked, I forget the comp that he used, Wagner from Seattle.
Yeah, you hesitated.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, maybe.
Bobby Wagner's a difference maker.
Yeah, and he said, I mean, I think so, but he said, I don't know what your definition of difference maker is. So does Sam Hubbard fit our definition of difference maker? Probably not for me.
Would he make a big difference?
But if you're not going
to
get what you want,
supposed to be at that position,
if you can't trade down and get what you want, you go and take a really good football player. And I'm okay with that. And normally I would be on your side, Paul, and I'd say, no, you got to go get a guy who does one thing really well that you know is going to excel in that one area right off the bat. But at some point, if you're not going to have a willing trade partner that's going to give you what you want, you got to be satisfied with just going to get a solid guy who's already developed, who's already proven himself at the college level and is going to come in and fit.
And I think we're not saying that Hubbard is just this big lug who just gets out the quarterback. He's more athletic than what we're actually giving him credit for in this discussion. He was a high school safety. You don't see high school safeties that end up being all Big Ten defensive ends.
No, he's a very good player. He's not Javon Kearse, right? And I think we're all holding out hope. And now this is 25 versus 16, and Kearse was a tweener, and there was a lot more 4-3. They were drafting him for a 4-3, all of that.
Yeah.
All of those things come into play. But, again, and we could get to this maybe next segment, this drives me to some alternative where maybe, you know, maybe you take Hubbard and you're happy with him, but maybe you say, you know what? The pass rush answer isn't at 25. There are some really good players who have some of the kind of traits we're talking about on the board. We're going to take one of those guys, and we're still going to find a good edge rusher in a very good second round.
Titans draft is tonight. Who will the Titans go with at 25? Be right here at Nissan Stadium to find out. The Titans draft party tonight, 6:30 at Nissan Stadium. Inflatable games, locker room tours, photo booths, and much more, including an exclusive VIP area for season ticket members. It happens tonight at Nissan Stadium. More of your phone calls coming up. Reed has called in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Just going to give you a little Titan insight going into this draft.
You take us off speaker first? Pick.
I don't think he's on speaker.
No speaker.
Sounds fun.
Hey, according to the big board, you got to get value. You got to take the best player on the board. Don't reach. I mean, the biggest liability on the team is Cyprian. I mean, you draft Justin Reed, who's the second-round talent. No, you got to go with value. The value is probably going to be, I mean, if you would like to see Van Der Esch drop, it's probably not going to happen. James Daniels would be a stud on this team. It's not going to happen. You got to go with Billy Price if he's available, the center out of Ohio State. That's probably your best value at 25.
Why is Billy Price better than Daniels or Ragnar?
No, I'd take Daniels. I just don't think he's going to be there, Paul. I mean, if Daniels is there, I'm taking Daniels over Billy Price. But more than likely, Daniels and Van Der Esch will both be gone. So your best value is going to be Billy Price. He's versatile. He can play center and guard. He's a potential Pro Bowl center.
Do you believe in any other position outside of interior offensive line?
It's all about value, boys. When you're picking 25.
Do you believe other positions carry value outside of offensive guard or center? You seem to be very high on all guards. And so you seem, I don't know that you're as much a draft expert as you are an offensive guard / center expert.
I'm a value expert because last year I told you.
All right, give me another guy that's not an interior offensive lineman that adds value to the Titans at 25 then. Go.
At 25, if one of the receivers drops, if a Ridley drops to 25, I'd take him.
Okay, that's good. You gain some legitimacy back with that one. At least you could name another guy.
I had a lot of these guys on my list of all alternatives this morning.
I love Reed.
That was one of his better calls, obviously.
Reed needs to call in.
He didn't piss me off.
I want Reed, do us a favor. Call in tomorrow when Quentin Nelson is drafted tonight and let us know what you think about his value with that team.
I want him to, like, send us a video on Twitter of his in-the-moment reaction to Quentin Nelson being drafted.
He's going
to
cry like Casey with a K when Clemson won the national title.
It's a life moment for Reed and Dallas.
He might be nude at the time.
He's going to go streaking through the quad to the gymnasium at that point. Is KFC still open? That's what he's going to be asking someone.
We're streaking! Hey, we're streaking!
Hey, so
you bring your green hat.
He brought up two positions that people are mentioning as value at 25. Let's start with wide receiver and Calvin Ridley. No, we have not been discussing Calvin Ridley at all because no one, I don't expect at this table, expects Calvin Ridley to last to 25.
No visit reported. Did you have something different? We were talking about him last night a little bit.
I think he may have been through.
Okay, no visit reported on the two trackers that I've been paying attention to, one at Music City Miracles, one at Walter Football. Look, I think if Ridley or Moore are there, depending on what's not there, you'd have to consider it. Again, I'm concerned about the Titans being super, super young at receiver, but the alternative to not being super, super young doesn't exist at this stage because they didn't get a veteran of note. So there are Decker snaps, so to speak, to be taken. Are you giving them all the Tajay Sharp, or do you need more alternatives than that? I'm not comfortable with four wide receivers going in. Campanero, I'm not really counting. He's a fringe guy, special teamer. Eric Weems-ish, maybe. But more wide receiver capabilities. But I don't think he's threatening to get into your top three. I need a fourth and a fifth that are threatening to get into your top three, or if one of your top three pulls a hamstring, that can be one of your top three. I liked some of the receivers like Gallup that they've had in who are more second or third rounders, however.
They've taken a long look at receiver.
And you just spent number five and a third rounder on receivers last year. You're going to now spend a first rounder on top of that? It's an awful lot of receivers. Though
they've also spent a lot of
modern NFL offense for a long time, and modern NFL offenses have a lot of receivers in.
They've also spent some high draft picks on offensive linemen.
No, absolutely. This would be the fourth in 6 years, the third in 5 years in a first round. You go back to Chance Warmack even. That's a lot. Though I don't disagree with Reed for the first time ever that if that's the value slapping you in the face, that's a significant upgrade over Ben Jones to me.
Draft tonight, draft party tonight here at Nissan Stadium. 6:30, parking lots open at 5:30. Titans radio broadcast live at 7 o'clock across the network. You can hear coverage beginning at 6 p.m. with Titans Radio 104.5 The Zone here on 104.5 The Zone. Concessions throughout the concourse tonight, Titans team store. They will be selling the new uniform, so you can check it out there. On-field activities include inflatable games, balloon artists, face painters. You're going to have photo booths for fans, autographs from Titans alumni. Titans cheerleaders will be here. Tennessee State Parks will bring some birds, some exotic birds.
Will they have a parrot to announce a pick?
Maybe so.
You guys know how I love birds.
For the first time ever, the zip line is going to be on the field, courtesy of Rackley Roofing.
That is cool.
I like that.
We did the zip line last year and had a blast with it, and we were just out in the parking lot. The fact you can zip line in on Nissan Stadium's field is really cool.
There's also, so we're on the west, we're on the east side for the broadcast. West side, which is the city side, the riverside, there will be an exclusive area for Titan season ticket members with other fun activities there. So check that out if you're a Titans season ticket member. 615-737-1045. It is time for the annual discussion of who you do not want the Titans to select tonight in the first round of the NFL draft.
Who's going first?
I'll go first. With the 25th pick of the 2018 NFL draft, I do not want the Tennessee Titans to select Dallas Goedert, tight end, South Dakota State. I have no interest in any tight end of this draft in the first round. I especially have no interest for this late blooming tight end that's a jackrabbit from Britain, South Dakota. That's the South Dakota State.
Even if they're not,
that's the South Dakota State mascot,
with the
by the
group
way.
Going forward, a team that's going to play less two receivers and certainly far less less two tights and certainly far less three tights, to prioritize it at that level, I think they would have to be just overwhelmed by the guy's skill set, and I would think there's somebody else there at a place with more urgent need that's more appealing.
I think it's silly to even consider a tight end here, but so many mock drafts have the Titans selecting a tight end is the only reason I'm throwing Dallas Goedert's name in there, someone I do not want to see drafted.
Guys get paid to be in the ballpark on their mock drafts with positions and needs, and there are a lot of national guys who are paid to be in the ballpark that have the Titans going tight end at 25.
And Albert Breer, whose work I think we all like a lot, had his kind of final thoughts thing today, team by team, and led with something that was from, I think, somebody's personnel director anonymously, with the three top needs, and he had tight end third.
Well, I think they're looking at Delanie Walker's contract. Does he have a year left?
Yes.
And he's going to be 34 in the season. And they're looking at Jonnu Smith and production last year compared to what is expected of him.
Yeah, and then they think Stocker and Supernar are replaceable.
Yes.
All reasonable, but not jettisoning it to jettisoning. Not putting jettisoning. It up to 20. Jettisoning. Not getting it up to 25.
For me, with the 25th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, I do not want the Titans to select, and I'll put a name here, but it's really a position, Frank Ragnow from Arkansas, or center. You know, the people that call in and say, oh, the center, he can play center or guard. I can get a fifth-round player who can play center and guard. I can find an offensive tackle that can play inside at guard and get value there. The value pick for center, for me, it doesn't line up with the value of a defensive inside linebacker or a defensive end slash edge rusher to get after the quarterback in this year's draft?
I think that's fair, though I see a scenario where Daniels could be the best player staring at them, and I do think that Ben Jones isn't a long-term solution at center. He's got 2 years left on his contract. I'm not married to him by any means. With the 25th pick in the 2018 NFL draft, I do not want the Tennessee Titans to select, and I'll be like Hutton here, I'll name a name, but he represents a position, Daron Payne, defensive tackle, Alabama. Look, he's big, he's 3'11", and Pease wants historically giant defensive linemen. I'm having trouble. I have trouble at cornerback, too. I need a spot for the guy right away. I need a spot for the guy right away. And if this guy has a spot right away, Daron Payne or Tavon Bryan or Maurice Hurst, if this guy has a spot right away, then Austin Johnson is probably out of the starting lineup. He may be out of the starting lineup anyway in terms of base for Benny Logan. But are the Titans incredibly deep on the defensive line? No. Are their top four fine, in my estimation, with Jarrell Casey, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, and now Benny Logan? Yeah. I don't see where the room for a first-round pick is there. And he used to talk all the time about rotating defensive linemen. It happens less and less now because you're in sub, and in sub, you've only got two of them out there with the outside linebackers coming up. And one of those guys is automatically Casey. And you just signed Daquan Jones to a 3-year, $21 million deal with $14 million guaranteed. I think you're expecting that guy to be on the field. I don't know where this guy fits, and I'm having trouble getting excited about a big guy on defense as a first-round pick.
Eddie on Twitter says, any offensive position. While that's funny to put it that way, we want one guy. We want one player that you've seen mentioned around the Titans at 25 or even in a mock draft to the Titans at 25 that you do not want
or
them to select tonight.
Even if somebody that would fall and be valuable that you'd still rather them steer away from.
Another example is someone said, I'm a Gator, but I don't want them to draft Antonio Callaway. Well, Antonio Callaway has no shot of going in the first round, especially with all of his issues. So we're looking for the guy at 25. You do not want to see the Titans draft. 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Jake asked me on Twitter, he says, what if that center became a Pro Bowl center versus a marginal player at another position? There are a lot of what-ifs there.
Yeah.
I want a difference maker on defense that's going to attack the quarterback and affect the quarterback in multiple ways.
And in a lot of
ways. Versatility with the player, either off the edge or an inside linebacker, a three-down type player.
It's really time for defense in the first round. Also.
There's also, throughout the history of the NFL, a lot of Pro Bowl centers that don't go in the first round. You can go find those guys. You could draft a Pro Bowl center in the fifth round. That could eventually be a Pro Bowler.
I mean, I think you raise a good point, but I was talking about super effort guy earlier, and you said Kyle Vandenbosch, and he wasn't particularly highly drafted and arrived on the scrap heap. So you could conceivably also find a pass rusher.
Yeah, but not as often.
Not as often. But you could conceivably find somebody anywhere.
And
look,
Kyle Vandenbosch.
Cortland Finnegan, they found Kyle Vandenbosch. You know.
I also don't know if Kyle Vandenbosch fits today's outside pass rusher as much as he did in the time he played.
I disagree. I think Kyle Vandenbosch, what he brought, rush any era.
3-4 outside linebacker?
Anywhere. Couple two-word answers to our tweet asking this question. One from Michael Kist, friend of the show and winner of our draft analyst competition, who says, Rashawn Evans.
Does not want him.
Does not want to draft him.
That's what, in response to it, unless he's misreading the tweet, with the 25th pick of the NFL draft, I do not want the Titans to take blank.
Surprising. Should we reevaluate us crowning him champion with that?
If you told me we could show up tomorrow and discuss Rashawn Evans as the Tennessee Titan, sign me up right now. Let's do it.
And the number one question about the question mark for him is his speed. On the conference call, I'll ask him.
I would be thrilled if the Titans drafted Rashawn Evans. I'd be thrilled if he was there at 25 where they could draft him. Things have been working out on the draft board if he's still there.
Tommy Lee says, Hubbard, I feel like you could grab him in the second round at 57. I don't know if he'll be there at 57, but I do think he will last.
Let's go through some calls here. Let's start with Philip up on line one. Hey, Philip.
I think Paul looked at the monitor and stole my note pick of Deron Payne from Alabama. He's been, just here in the past week or so, 2 weeks, CBS Sportsline, Fox, a couple of them have just been hyping him up. I believe probably towards the championship game, they started talking about getting towards the draft. He was more of a middle to end second round, early third, but they went off strictly off the championship game against Georgia and just bumped him a full round. Thought he would be a low 23 to 28 pick in the first round. And, he wasn't a good ball player, don't get me wrong, but just wasn't that type of player to be in the lower first round. And they have just hyped him to death here in the past week or so to be picked by the Titans. I'm like, Paul, I don't see it.
Paul, with you, though, it's more of a positional thing, right?
Yeah, I think he's a good player, probably. I'm not interested in that position right now. I think you deal, I don't know, I'm satisfied with what they have on the defensive line. No, I think they'll probably
you view him as someone who comes off the field in sub-packages.
Yeah. I mean, even if he doesn't, he's not going to be on the field all the time in sub-packages.
Let's go next to John. Hey, John.
How you doing?
Great, man. Good. Who do you not want?
Number 25 overall, do not take Leighton Vander Esch out of Boise State.
Why not?
I watch a lot of film every year. I'm a managing editor on a website, so I do a lot of draft coverage. I watch probably 200-300 hours of film starting in January. And when you've got a first-round linebacker, you want him to pop off of the screen at you as a clear playmaker, not just off of the film cuts, but you want it as the overall game when you're watching a full game. And there were a couple of Boise State games that I watched during the season, and he never popped off the screen and was like the biggest playmaker on that defense. They had some other guys. I think they had a defensive end that was really good and a safety. So I think he's overrated. I think the media's hyping him a little bit, and he's not worth a first-round pick, but thanks, guys.
He has certainly gotten hype. I mean, there have been big articles lately on The Ringer and I think on Monday Morning Quarterback.
Well, I read The Ringer's profile of him, and I am a little bit leery when you see a guy who gets that type of hype because of his story. The Ringer dubbed him the Paul Bunyan of this draft. And, I mean, it's impossible not to read that and come away thinking, man, I'd love to have this guy on my team. Whatever team you have, but then you really have to sort of look behind the curtain and start to say, okay, is he really this good? He's such a late bloomer, and he was a walk-on at Boise State, and a guy who was really a safety and a quarterback in high school.
He played like 8-on-8, or 9-on-9.
He played 8-on-8, and they just moved him.
So did Dallas Goedert, by the way.
Yeah. Well, they moved him to quarterback at his Idaho high school because the other guy had an ankle injury, and he was fast, and they ran a rushing attack in 8-on-8. And he sort of ran the option at quarterback and became but he was also just a great basketball player. He averaged 29 points and 11 rebounds a game in high school basketball. They won a state title in basketball at his small high school in Idaho.
Late bloomers, though, don't bother me. There are a lot of 1 or 2 year starters in college football that are in the top.
Oh, absolutely.
Draft.
But look, I love the guy. I think he's going to be a good player, but you do have to look into that and say, am I reading too much into the backstory and not as much into his film, like this guy calling in saying that he's watched a lot of his film. Phone lines are open, by the way. Who do you not want the Titans to select at 25 tonight? Again, who do you not want the Titans to select? 615-737-1045. 737-1045. Let us know who you don't want the Titans to take tonight.
Rob, go right ahead. What's up?
Hey, guys. Chad, I loved how you specified don't, because I'm sure there's going to be some guys calling in saying, I'd love for them to take this guy. Anyways, I'm going with Sam Hubbard, and not because I don't want him to be on the Titans, just not at 25. I think early to mid-second round, he'd be a great pick, but just not at 25.
Well, and here's my question for you. If you think he's a good player, Let's say the Titans don't have a willing trade partner where they can get down in the second round to get him. Are you okay with taking Sam Hubbard if you like him, even though you believe he's not the 25th overall pick?
I may be. I don't know if John Robinson is because of how he picks with value. And that's tough. If Lamar Jackson's there and John Robinson has him as the 15th best player on the board, do we really want Lamar Jackson at 25? I mean,
no,
that's a
got
tough
a deal.
Spot.
Got to try to deal. Here's my thing, and I'm along the lines with what you said, Chad, and I contradict myself on this, I know. Like, if you love Hubbard at 25, but you think he's more like 35, do you force yourself to take somebody else that you have rated higher for whatever reason, but you might not have the passion about? And I think those are questions that teams have to answer a long time ago, or not a long time ago, but before tonight in their war room and conversations that they've had to have. And then does that ultimately affect your grade of the guy? Are you taking your 35th player who is Hubbard at 25, even though you have guys graded higher?
You take the guy you love.
It's not all about the grade.
You take the guy you love.
Then my question is, does your love factor into the grade? I would like you to be picking strictly off the grade, but do you heighten the grade based on your love for a guy, even if he's not as talented?
Well, in your scenario, and it's a good question, I think you take the guy you love because you don't know that he's going to be there when you pick again, and you go ahead and get him when you can, instead of just taking someone that, hey, this is our best available player, but there are some question marks we have about him, but we have him graded slightly higher than Hubbard. If you love the guy, take him. I'm not saying that I want them to take Sam Hubbard. I'm just saying if they are in love with Sam Hubbard, you take him, even if you think he's not a first-round pick.
Alex is next up, and I thought we would hear this name immediately on the phones. Alex, go right ahead.
Edge rusher Josh Sweat from Florida State. That knee injury scares the heck out of me. There's a chance that guy plays in the league 2 years, if that. There's difference of opinion from team to team, from doctor to doctor on his knee is way too scary. There's not a lot of clarity for a first-round pick. You got to be healthy. Point blank. Also, a dark horse for a guy I don't want to take is Harold Landry. Yes, we need him. A player like that. He had a breakout year last year, and then when people found out about him, his statistics dipped. That scares me. I want a guy that even when he gets doubled, he can make a play. Yes, it's going to be hard to find a pick 25, but that's what they get paid to do.
He was hurt.
Yeah, Landry had a dip because
he was hurt.
He was banged up.
I think Landry, to me, automatic if he's there. I would agree to take him. I understand his Josh Sweat thing. I think Josh Sweat's intriguing, and if Josh Sweat didn't have this big injury history, I might be all
it
on
wasn't
board,
just an ACL either.
No, like it was a dislocated knee.
Yeah, it was like a shattering of a knee.
Isn't it funny how this topic reveals positional bias with different people? Now, we had Reed call in. He only wanted to talk about interior offensive linemen. This guy calls in. He only wants to negate the work of outside pass rushers, Josh Sweat and Harold Landry. I mean, even if you're not, if you don't consciously know you're doing that, I think this is where the subconscious comes in. And I don't want to see this guy because I've been burned by this guy before when you draft him. And these guys are shaky. But that's a position of absolute need for every team. You have to have a guy who can affect the quarterback.
As a senior in high school, the injury for Josh Sweat, he dislocated a kneecap and he tore his ACL in his left knee.
The dislocated kneecap is much more concerning than the torn ACL because that is an injury. I know people who have dislocated their kneecap.
Oh, he nearly lost his leg.
Yes, but I know people who've had that injury, and that is an injury that does not go away. The moment you dislocate something, people who separate their shoulder a lot, you know, this happens.
Well,
My left pinky finger, if I hit the table wrong, you could look down and it's at an L. It easily dislocates. There's no cartilage left in that. I have to tape it up to play any sport. Knees get like that, too. Now, imagine that for an outside pass rusher where your knee could easily dislocate at any point.
So he had that injury was in 2014 as a senior in high school. In September of 2016, he suffered a torn meniscus in the same knee, his left knee.
And had a less of a procedure to fix that. Torn meniscus happens. But now you've got three different things that have been wrong with the same knee.
He's also a stud athlete.
Greg Cosell and other people have said looked like he was dragging that leg around some.
615-737-1045. Who do you not want the Titans to take at 25 again? Who do you not want the Titans to take at 25? 737-1045.
Matt is next on the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Hey, Matt.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Great.
I was going to say Josh Sweat, but you guys just covered that. Arden Key is another one, and I think I'd be willing to take either one of those guys probably in the second round if we could trade back and get a couple more picks. But at 25, Arden Key's injury obviously scares me, but even a guy like Sam Hubbard, I think if we could trade back, I'd love to get them in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know if it's inconceivable to get one of those two guys you're mentioning at 57. I mean, Key, he's got stuff that some people aren't going to like, maybe including the Titans.
I love Key at 57. I mean, for the purpose of this exercise, yeah, you don't want to take him at 25 because no one's going to take him that high. I would love taking a chance on Arden Key later in the draft. To me, his physical upside is worth it.
Oh, he's played in a 2- and 3-point stance.
What's the big issue?
Off the field.
Yeah. So that plays into what I was talking to Vrabel about can your culture, is your culture strong enough to handle an outlier, so to speak, to which he said, I don't know, I'm evaluating.
But he played 3-4 for Dave Aranda's defense at LSU. I mean, he's made to rush.
Physically, you don't ever just look past the off-field stuff, but I take a chance on that guy if he slips to 3rd, 4th round. He's that talented.
He had a 4-month leave of absence last spring for personal reasons and wasn't in football shape whenever he returned to LSU from that.
And he may be a first-round talent, but clearly there's some issues as to why he's nowhere near the first round.
Chad is next. Chad, welcome.
Hey, fellas. I'll tell you right now who I do not want the Titans to pick, and that is Harold Landry.
Why?
Because I'm a Saints fan, and I want the Saints to pick him.
Well, that was a good twist.
Thank you, Chad.
Yeah, Harold Landry, if he's there. And I say the same about Rashawn Evans. Love it if those guys are there for the Titans to take at 25. That's where maybe your thinking on wanting to trade down changes a bit at that point, if those guys are around.
The one position and the one name we did not hear or have not heard so far, and I haven't scrolled through the rest of the Twitter mentions, Justin Reed, the safety from Stanford. He's a name that has gained some momentum over the last week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm thinking you got to put him very much in play. I mean, outside of those linebacker spots, safety is the next biggest need if you're turning away from the backers for the reasons that we've discussed in the first hour and 36 minutes of the show. I would think Reed's in play. I will say this. I've done a good job not doing this until this point, until what I wrote this morning. Hutton and I were talking about it yesterday, and we've discussed it thoroughly in the first part of this show. I told myself this, and I wrote about it, we talked about it, when Robinson was hiring Vrabel. Don't overcomplicate how you think of it. Straight line thinking generally works with John Robinson. They needed a right tackle, and they drafted Jack Conklin. They needed a receiver and a cornerback, and they drafted Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson. They need an edge rusher and an inside linebacker.
Lucas on Twitter says Arden Key equals DGB with off-field issues. Two votes.
Put it that way.
Yeah, it's compelling. Your argument is compelling. Two votes for anyone that's from Alabama, not wanting the Titans to take them. Corey says, I don't want the Titans to take anyone from Alabama. And Wade says, anyone from Alabama, I can't stand Bammers calling this show saying that guy needs more playing time, whoever the Alabama player is.
Paul is nodding.
I'm in on that.
So we had the caller who said he's been watching film for work. Sweet job, by the way. He's watching film for a website on Leighton Vander Esch. Said he didn't really stand out whenever he watched him play. Greg Cosell disagrees. Greg Cosell is a fan of Leighton Vander Esch. In fact, he was one of the first, may have been the first, to really notice him and start to tout him as a first-round talent within the media circles. We asked him about Leighton Vander Esch recently and also asked him to compare him to Rashawn Evans.
despite his size, Jonathan, he's not purely a physical inside player in the box. You know, he doesn't take on blocks and toss guys away. But what consistently stood out was his knack for keeping himself clean, kind of being slithery and slippery without losing his gap responsibility and gap integrity, and then maintaining his balance and body control so he can make the tackle. I think that's a really strong trait of his, and I think that's something that you probably can't teach. I think that's a feel, but I think it's being kind of slippery and slithery, but you don't lose your gap responsibility.
It's hard to tell, at least when I watch him, that he's 6'4", whenever I, which I guess is a good thing.
Well, he was 6'4 and a quarter and 256 at the combine. He ran a 4.65, which, again, that it's not the time itself, but it's the fact that that's a pretty darn good time for a guy that big.
Rashawn Evans, how do you compare him to Vander Esch? I know you like both players, both project to that inside linebacker at the 3-4 defense. Which player do you prefer?
I think overall, if I had to pick one, you know, if they were both there and somebody said to me, who are you taking? I would probably take Vander Esch just because of the size and the athleticism. I think, and Evans is athletic too, but I think the size, the combination of size and athleticism with Vander Esch. Evans is a different kind of player. He was used very often at Alabama in their sub packages as a pass rusher, very often from the edge. Now, I don't know if he'll do that in the NFL, but he did it in college, and he was pretty good at it. You know, I think he's probably, as you say, a 3-4 weak side inside linebacker, and I think that's how he profiles when you transition him to the league. And he's another guy. He's a higher level athlete. He's got plus agility and quickness. He can play sideline to sideline, inside and out, really effectively. He's, you know, I wouldn't be bothered if he was taken either. But you know, if you really said, who do you want? I would probably, you know, say Vander Esch.
We have talked a lot about Vander Esch and Rashawn Evans. And by the way, you can check out the Greg Cosell podcast online, midday180.com. Vander Esch and Evans, they've been top of mind. Two players we haven't discussed for the Titans much because we don't expect them to be there. We mentioned Calvin Ridley earlier. And also, I think we should discuss Marcus Davenport for tonight, Paul, because if things go crazy with trades and everyone maneuvering up to go after the quarterbacks and positioning themselves to get ahead of Dallas for the receiver, what happens to Davenport in all this mix?
I just can't see. I mean, we're talking Bradley Chubb, clear-cut number one pass rusher, and we presume off the board by 4-6 at the latest. All right? We're going to go from 4 or 6 to 25 before an edge pass rusher comes off the board in the NFL circa 2018?
Well,
everybody needs a pass rush.
Chubb is touted as the all-around pass rusher, okay? Really fast. Landry, what's he known for? Speed.
Dip and speed, yeah.
Davenport's faster than both of them.
Yeah.
To me, Davenport is ultimate upside guy, right? The guy you look at and you think, well, you know, maybe played at a slightly lower level, even though he was, you know, an FBS player. Some of the highlight footage of him, like if you just compare highlight footage, Leighton Vander Esch has one highlight against Oregon in the Las Vegas Bowl that is incredible. Marcus Davenport has like four highlights in the Louisiana Tech game alone that equal Leighton Vander Esch's highlight reel.
Well, the question is, when you watch him, is can he play outside linebacker for this discussion if he were to fall? We asked Greg Cosell that question.
Well, keep one thing in mind. I went through 5 full games, meaning I saw every snap. So I don't know the number of snaps, but it's obviously quite a few. Now, he only played with his hand on the ground one time in those 5 games. So a lot of people are just assuming he's a 3-4 outside backer, but that will take a learning curve because it's a whole different world. Excuse me, everybody's assuming he's a D-end, and that will take some time because it's a different world when you're standing up. You can see so much more when you're standing up. When your hand is on the ground in a 3-point stance, your vision is totally different. It's much tighter. It's just a different world. So some may see him as an outside linebacker. That's okay. There are times he reminded me of a number of players who are presently in the NFL with his style of play. He was a powerful guy. He was a bull rusher, a speed-to-power rusher. There were times he reminded me of Jadeveon Clowney, not as purely powerful. There were other times he reminded me of Brian Arakpo, actually. And then another name that came to mind as I was finishing up was Aldon Smith, who was obviously a very good player before he had some personal issues. But that kind of size, I think Davenport's about 6'6", 260, and we know what you know, his numbers are from the Senior Bowl. So I guess he's close to 6'6", and weighs 259. He has very long arms, a long wingspan. I found him to be a really intriguing prospect. He's got length. He's got strong hands. He's naturally athletic. Now, he's a little stiff. He's not a bender. You know, he's not one of those guys who's going to bend the edge with flexibility, but he's got really strong hands.
What's ideal for him if you were picking 4-3-N, 3-4-OLB?
Well, again, because he stood up in college, you know, maybe 3-4 backer, because there will be a learning curve, although in an ideal world, Paul, I think when all's said and done, his traits probably fit better as a 4-3 defensive end, but that will take time.
So in that description, Paul, I'm hearing Cosell. There's no way that guy falls.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. You know, I think he's gone by high teens at the latest.
Watch the speed of that guy.
Yeah,
go watch the Louisiana Tech game alone. There are five plays in that game where, I mean, it's a blur. If you have the end zone camera from behind on one play, like, he comes into the shot so quickly, and he looks like he's shot out of a cannon, and he destroys the quarterback. It's not just like...
Now, who was the opponent?
Louisiana Tech.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think their left tackle is in consideration for the first round.
No.
But, it is incredible, though, to watch how quickly this guy gets the quarterback. And he is just lighting people up. Louisiana Tech, who also, didn't they lose like 92 yards on a
yes,
play against Mississippi State? Remember that?
Yes.
They had a third and goal from their own seven. It was third and 93. Third and goal from their own 7 yard line after kicking the ball completely that far back and eventually falling on it.
Guys, you will, let's go around the table here. You will not be surprised to see this tonight from the Titans. I'll start it if you'd like.
Go ahead.
I will not be surprised if they draft a safety at 25. With the depth that they have currently, and depending on how the first round could play out, we could see Justin Reed at that spot.
I will not be surprised if they draft a cornerback, which is going to baffle me. But Josh Jackson visited, and Jared Alexander visited.
Yeah, Jair, yeah.
And
he did.
I mean, again, you've got 30 visits. You have 6 picks. You conceivably meet with 24 guys that you're not drafting. But something about that has a wafting odor that leads me to something. And I wonder if there's an outside scenario where you say, we can't get a rusher here, but we can make our secondary deep and invincible. And these guys can cover long enough collectively, Ryan, Butler, Adore Jackson,
yet.
And this guy.
It's not deep yet on the outside?
It is deep, but 4 deep is a lot. I mean, I would have a problem with it in that there's no starting spot for the guy as he's drafted.
I think my answer may surprise you guys, but I will not be surprised if the Titans end up drafting a wide receiver tonight at 25. I think there's a chance that either Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore will be there. And now with Matt LaFleur's offense, which I think will put a bigger emphasis on more receivers that can play, and we don't know how they view Taywan Taylor right now. We don't know how they view some of the receivers on this roster. I would not be shocked if the value pick, if the best available player pick, is a wide receiver at 25. That would not shock me.
DJ Moore had a private workout with the Titans, reportedly. Did not visit. Ridley, no visit reported, but
I think they know Ridley well.
It seems like they know Alabama guys well.
Yeah, yep.
Which, let's face it, if you're an NFL team, you need to know Alabama's coaches and their players well. It's a pretty good program to be in touch with.
We don't know Justin Reed all that well as a safety, but we did ask Greg Cosell how versatile of a safety Reed is.
They were thinking, if he came back, of moving him to corner full time. He's that athletic. He ran a 4.4. His measurables are terrific. as you said, he played multiple positions. He's somewhat like Fitzpatrick in that regard. He's not as good an overall player as Fitzpatrick, but he's a more explosive athlete than Fitzpatrick. His issues were eye discipline. You could really see it on tape. His eyes were very often in the wrong place. That's a very coachable thing. It doesn't mean it's fixed immediately, but it's a coachable thing. Some might see him as at his best as a back-end safety playing single high. I mean, he has great speed and great range.